Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great day to be practicing, isn't it?
Isn't it just? Yeah, spring is in the air, huh? Is it where you are?
Yes, it is, actually.
Just adds another whole element. Is it still a little bit light? Just a little
yes.
bit light where you are?
Yes. Not right now, but I'm sure it will be soon.
Well, it was just a few minutes ago, I bet. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And I have an announcement.
Great day. All right.
Bring conscious, compassionate awareness to your Saturday tasks or any project you choose at our at-home working meditation day on Saturday, March 30th. Projects are a lot more enjoyable when we do them with Sangha. So join us for a day of fun and awareness. All proceeds benefit the project in Cantalomba.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Working meditation. It's a good thing.
Yes, indeed. Our Reflective Listening Buddies program offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter of this popular program begins April 15th. And do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? The Keeping Commitments Buddy program, also beginning April 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support during this compassionate training. And Sangha is once again invited to our spiritual home at 4 Acres Zen Center in gorgeous Squim, Washington. This year's Summer of Sangha includes week-long and weekend retreats from June 14 to August 18. A full schedule of yoga, meditation, guidance, workshops, groups, and self-guided practice will be offered. Registration is limited, so sign up soon. And, as was previously announced, it will be possible to accept precepts with this practice during the Summer of Sangha. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
All right.
And a few, yes. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation of about 5 minutes in length and on one topic is great. I think we're all set here, Sherry.
All right. Sounds like it.
Yes, indeed.
Thank
all
you.
All right. You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa in Corvallis, Oregon.
Well, hello, Vanessa. Neighbor.
Hi. It's been so long.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Well, I have been missing practice because when the year-long ended, my brain forgot about open air until today. I don't know.
Well, good. It kicked in.
What? It kicked in, but I could have been doing this all along, but I wasn't.
That's
so,
right. And that's really big to see, isn't it?
It is.
It really is. It's so important to see without self-hatred.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything wrong. There's no problem whatsoever. It's just, how does that happen? How does that happen? And you have kind of a little scientific bent. So those kinds of, how does a brain do that? That can be really interesting.
It was like I was just taking a little break and just practicing on my own. And then when the class was going to start, I said, you know, my commitment is I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity to join the calls. And I was like, oh, and what about this other one? But I'm really happy to be on. Thank you. The current thing I've been watching is we moved from California a couple years ago to Oregon, and mm-hmm. I struggle with the lack of sunshine in the wintertime. Mm. And when there is a little bit of sun, a lot of times it's cold and it doesn't feel as good as I remember California feeling in the winter. And there's a lot of comparison. And then there's what conditioning will get me with is I should be enjoying the sunshine more and I should be doing it differently. Like if I'm on a walk, maybe I should be laying in the sun. And I mean, it's relentless.
Yeah.
It's yes, kind it of comical.
Yes. Oh, good. Oh, very good. Yeah. That is an excellent place to get with it. Because if we take it seriously and personally, it's brutal. But to just, you know, it's kind of like the senile old person down the block. You know, it just goes on and on and on about stuff. Gets in a groove and just goes on and on and on about it. And the groove for ego is, this is what's wrong with you right now.
Yes.
And if it's not wrong with you, it's wrong with something else, right? So it's the weather is wrong, but then how you are with the weather is wrong. So sooner or later, it's going to come back to what's wrong with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if it's just a joke. Yeah.
Right. I have very few complaints about anything anymore. It's kind of amazing. And this is the one area it really gets me.
Well, Vanessa, I too made that that shift, but came a little farther north, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here's this is just for those of us who leave places and sometimes forget why we left. And why we chose what we chose. So what I remember is that how many years into the temperature in the summer is never below 90. You can't go outside after 8 o'clock in the morning because it's too hot. There's nothing but dust. There's dust and heat and heat. And I think, you know, strictly speaking, California is a desert. But I didn't sign on for this. It wasn't like this, and now it is, and so I have the ability to be somewhere else. So for me, remembering that I didn't just get up one day and say, oh my gosh, I just love it where I am, it's heaven, it's perfection, I think I'll leave and go somewhere else that's not as good. That didn't happen.
Yeah, so it's just watching the voices and focusing on, well, not focusing on why I left, but remembering.
Just remembering. Yeah, and that you don't have to take that on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all, of course, in aid of just treating them like the person down the block who gets in a groove and just can't seem to get out of it and has nothing to do with you. It's just a program. It's what it does. It's all designed to make you feel bad. You can just laugh at it.
For sure. And right now we have some sun. So, you know.
Perfect, isn't it? I know. I know. It's going to be gone soon, but... You know, and again, if you stay in touch with the world, you know, on any given day, somebody is having worse weather than we are. And so, you know, we can just be grateful for that.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Good to
Thank
hear from you.
Nice to talk with you, Sherry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. And sure, we have another caller here.
All right.
next caller. You are now live in the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from Seattle.
Well, hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Neighbor.
Hi.
We're hearing from the Pacific Northwest this evening. What are you up to?
Well, I want to report back on the assignment you gave me a long time ago.
Good.
I know the process, but I'm feeling like it's a little bit hard for me to refer back to it right now. But it was about, just situations where I feel really, really, really unsafe and I need to get away from the situation right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, when I went to the doctor's office and I felt like he was not being sincere. Yeah, so the process, and so I like ended the appointment right then and there and just walked out. And my assignment was to see, just the process about all of that, because I have things like that happen sometimes.
Well, Anna, may I?
Yeah.
So I and then we'll get to, what you've seen over the last little while. But there's a difference between situations like that happen sometimes and situations like that happen all the time. Is
it's all the time.
Or all the time? Okay, got it. All right, right with you.
So I guess, I guess ego tells me there are a bunch of psychopaths out there, and I don't know, when, someone is acting outwardly kind towards me, but actually they are not. So that's ego's story around it, and it's tied in with all kinds of fight and flight and freeze responses in my body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit hard to untangle because the belief is so strong that, when I feel a certain kind of sensation in my body or, of unsafety or what I, always mm-hmm. have interpreted as unsafety, emotional mm-hmm. unsafety, basically, not so much physical unsafety, but just like someone, I can't trust someone to be mm-hmm. sincere and having mm-hmm. good intentions, mm-hmm. then I...
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what we talked about last time, but this is what I want to talk about this time, okay?
Yeah.
And so there. What I know about you is that you are intelligent.
Thanks.
So, yeah, I mean, you're an intelligent person. You are.
Yeah.
And so you don't actually need to rely on voices that are trying to convince you of something. You can rely on your intelligence. So people will say to me, well, don't we need to, doesn't fear keep us from getting hit by a bus? And my response is no. As a matter of fact, fear very likely will get you run over by a bus. What will keep you from it is intelligence. You're an intelligent person. You learn to look both ways before you step out into the street. That's what's going to keep you safe, not a voice making you afraid of things. And so, to me, that's the place to look. Yes, you are deeply, deeply conditioned there are dangers, there are dangerous people. Obviously, probably we would agree that walking down dark alleys at night would not be a good idea. That's just intelligent, right? You don't need fear for that. And so, to look and see in the circumstances, what's going on with the voice in the head? Is it really, now, if it felt to you like the doctor wasn't paying attention to you and this was just not a situation that you wanted to be in, then leaving is fine. It's the kind of situation where if you don't feel good about being there, there's no reason to be there, right? But if it keeps, if it keeps coming up in that way, talking to you about danger, about a lack of safety, notice if what's happening is that the conversation, what it's saying to you in your head, is what's making you feel unsafe. Without that conversation, would you be having those sensations? It's really doubtful.
And people, they are just acting the way they are because of whatever their conditioning is. So I don't need to be afraid of them.
Right.
I mean, it's just because of my conditioning that I think it's unsafe.
That's exactly right. So there you are in a situation, and you keep having this kind of, this kind of feeling that there's something off here. This doesn't. And so you pay really close attention, not to what the voices are saying. Okay, we're learning to look between the thoughts, right? Really going to an intuitive sense, an intuitive sensing. Now, again, if you're getting information that somebody is not safe for you, don't be alone with them. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just intelligent. And then you stay in the situation, you stay in the situation. What you're doing is using it as a workshop to see what are those voices in my head telling me that are causing me to feel this way versus what am I actually sensing from this other person? And it's really, really subtle, right? But you're intelligent, and you can use that intelligence to make sure you don't get talked into being in a situation where you are actually legitimately unsafe. And that can involve physical safety, right? Don't go off alone with somebody that you don't know really well and don't trust. Don't let them have access to your bank account. Don't give them your credit cards. Don't, right? So that's the kind of thing that intelligence, that we can rely on intelligence to take care of us. It'll keep us from getting talked into doing what the voice in the head is saying that is going to wind up putting us in a bad place.
Yeah. And the same with emotion. Is there something like emotional safety, or is that just...
Well, again, you said it. You know, we're all conditioned to be as we are. And so... Nobody can hurt you, Anna. Nobody can hurt you. They can't.
Yeah.
We hurt ourselves because we want something and it doesn't happen. We believe something and it isn't true. We're hoping for something and it doesn't turn out that way. And we get hurt over that, and then we want to blame somebody else. But we're all having our own experience. So, you know, you get involved with somebody and they seem to really care about you and you really want them to care about you. And so you believe that they care about you, but actually they never really did. Okay.
Right.
They were just maybe into something else. And so that if that hurts, then it's because we hurt ourselves over that kind of thing, because the other person never said, you know, I'm committing my life to you. I want to love and care for you for the rest of my natural life. Here are my credit cards, my bank account, my insurance policies. Yeah? So it's sorting through all of that kind of thing. So, no, I don't think we can be in emotional danger from another person. We're in emotional danger from ourselves, from our own conditioning, from our own ego. Not that we want to own ego, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All right. You're fine. You got this.
Thanks.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And Sherry, I'm going to bring on another caller here while we look for our good news guest in the queue here.
Okay.
All righty. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carol in Washington.
Well, hello, Carol. Yes. You really are a neighbor.
Yes, I am.
Well, what's going on?
I have a couple things. Let me see which one's going to come to the surface here. Okay, I'll talk about duality. So I'm having a really great example of it, and it's when it's very, very extreme, one side to another, I'm catching on to, well, that it's a duality, first of all, and that let's see, how can I explain this? Well, I have had I was in a little workshop last night with, I have made a plan. I've been listening to a person whose teachings and meditations I like, and wanted to go to a presentation that they're doing, like a conference. And then, you know, I've been looking forward to this and listening to their stuff for a while, and it's been very helpful. And then I read something online about them, a couple of things that were very derogatory warning type stuff, you know, be careful, this person's doing this and that, like brainwashing stuff and all that. And then I watched ego just sort of take over and put me on 100%, 180 degrees different position. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I've been fooled. And granted, I've been sucked in. I'm very easily influenced, and have been in a church that was considered a cult at one time. I kept reading, and it just kept looking more and more dire, something.
grim.
And it's funny because I've seen this process happen before, and I know you won't take this personally, but it happened to be one time at the monastery. And the thought is, oh my God, I should have known this before, you know, why didn't I know? Like suddenly the light went on, and this is a really bad situation. And of course, the next day we talked about it in group up there, and it was fine, and I felt like the lights went on and everything. But I'm having that feeling now and I've had it many times in life, but I'm having that feeling with this this teaching and everything, and I'm just watching it. That's all. I'm just watching because I was like, but in the beginning it feels like I'm really stuck in something, and I can't get out. And then I think the still small voice says, just wait, you have plenty of time to unregister, and I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I was watching the process. That's the main thing, and how it seems when it seems so, oh my God, why didn't I know this before? That's a red flag for me. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh yes, 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 yes. And so oh my God, huh, 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 and which quickly goes into, well, you should have known. You should have known that. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now you're in big danger. And now what are you going to do? And so all of that upset the previous caller, you know, the flight, fight, freeze that mm-hmm. is so popular with humans, right? Because that's what mm-hmm. that's what ego does to us. So first of all, I would say, you know, that you get pulled into, and this is kind of dangerous territory, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? That you get mm-hmm. pulled into that you're going to get something from this person that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's if it was a furniture store, you're going to get a good price on that chair you want, or if it's a whatever. And so that wanting something pulls us in, right? Mm. And there's that side of it is the, oh, this is great. I love this. This is fabulous. Okay, I want more of this, right? And then when it flips over to the other side of it, all of that emotion of excitement and enthusiasm now gets turned into, oh, my God, this is wrong. This is a disaster. I shouldn't be. And so for me, that side of it is no more interesting than the previous side.
Oh, you mean you determine it not to be interesting?
Well, it's that I'm going to get something. Oh, my God, I'm not. And not only am I not going to get something, but or we could say I'm going to get something I didn't want. I thought I was going to get something good. That's what I signed on for. Now it looks like I'm going to get something bad. I don't want that. So now what do I do?
Right. And so if it's, you know, like neither side of the duality is really
yes.
A, where I want to be, nor is it truth per se, or
that's
or
right.
is it pre- or is it neither is it presence.
That's right. Because what the opportunity in all of these things is to watch what's going on with you, not lose sight of you and what's going on with you because you're focused on this other person, this person who is really interesting and fascinating and you like what they're saying and they, yeah? You lose sight of you and what's operating you in that, right? And then on the other side, you could lose sight of you being just 100% pulled into, oh my God, I've made a really big mistake. This is awful. I should have known better. Right? So it really is, when you say you want to talk about duality, that's just it. It's the duality, right? And and the importance of seeing both sides of it. So I can't get beaten up for being a greedy pig if I don't really want to eat that whole chocolate cake in the first place. Okay? And that's exactly it. If there were as much conscious awareness brought to what is going on with me that I have suddenly decided that that chocolate cake is the answer to all of my dreams come true. What is going on there? Why am I believing that? Why am I thinking that? You see, now it's back to me, and it's probably going to drop in that, well, actually what's happening, what's always happened before is you eat that, and then you get beaten up and called a bunch of names. That's really what's. But I'm not there
right.
for that part. All I'm there for is I really want that chocolate cake. I really want that chocolate cake. Yeah, and it's just a setup for the other side of it.
And it's funny because a relative of mine's been having some trouble with their mental health and psychosis and stuff, and they were mentioning this person, and then I started. I don't know, praising them or talking like I know something, you know, and besides that, they've done this and this. And then last night, that thing kind of got flipped because I realized there isn't any evidence of the research of this stuff that I'm telling people is going on. And so I guess it was like an ego identification, you know, and kind of like embarrassment, you know. And very interesting to watch as well as a process, you know.
Yes, yes. And there's another, to me, really interesting piece of this, which is there's all this stuff on the internet about this person, but you don't know any of it's true. So, in my field, I've watched it for years. Okay, and the main way it plays out is the teacher is sleeping with their students. That's the way it always
right.
plays. Way more popular than money. And in this culture, it really is a toss-up. Which is the worst betrayal, right? Sleeping with their students, or the one poor guy who who talked everybody into buying him I think it was a Mercedes-Benz convertible or something, and then they all piled on when it was sexual impropriety along with greed, right? And then he was out, right? Minutes before, he was the most wonderful thing that ever happened. Then suddenly mm-hmm. they were betrayed because they believed this and they thought he that, and then he wasn't, and we have to punish him, right? And
I remember
so,
you having talked about that before, yes.
Yep. And so that kind of thing happens all the time, right? Somebody gets upset about something, their nose out of joint about something, and somebody's reputation is ruined. And so the Rajneesh thing about it, the story about it, group mm-hmm. of people sitting there on the sidewalk talking, and this guy walks by, and somebody says, God, that guy is just a slime ball. And everybody goes, oh, wow, really? Oh, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Okay, but just total acceptance. Guy walks by, somebody says, that guy is a prince. He is an absolute prince of a human being. And the reaction is, yeah, really? Why? What makes him so great?
Right, so it's easier to go with the negative.
That's exactly right. That's what's popular. So we don't actually know anything about what happened with that person, except that these people, I don't know about you, but I don't tend to really get involved in things enough that I want to go online and try to ruin somebody's reputation. But there are people who find that, whatever, that they're happy to do that, usually anonymously. Almost nobody ever signs those things and says, if you want more evidence, write to me or call me at this number, right? It's anonymous. So you just smear somebody, say all of these things, and everybody says, yeah, well, he's, yeah, yeah. Now, it could all be true, right? He could be brainwashing people and doing God knows what. But as I was just saying to the previous caller, you are intelligent. Okay, you can have your own experience.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go either way. You don't have to think this is God's gift who's going to save you or that this is Satan in human clothing who's going to destroy your life. You don't have to believe any of it. But you can watch how that process happens in you.
Yes. And that is what I'm have been watching, and it's really good to have it sort of parsed out in this conversation. So thank you for that.
You are so very welcome. Behave yourself.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Carol. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. Sherry, I've heard you frame it as we put people up on a pedestal, and then when we've had enough of them, we knock them off.
Oh, it is the great human pastime. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Build them up, tear them down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You are so wonderful. Oh, I so admire you. You think you're so good. You're no better than I am. Yeah. Sad, but true.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Sherry, we cannot find our good news guest tonight. So we're going to keep...
Well, son of a gun. I hate it when we lose people, don't you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep my eye out in case the guest comes around. So.
Yeah, let us know. Jen and I will stay tuned. We're interruptible.
Great. And I'll bring on our caller, next caller.
Yeah, and Michael, I'll tell you, you are a little slidey into, I don't know what's a good word, but not real distinct. So I don't know if it's you, if it's me, if it's us, but just to let you know, a little sliding underwater.
Got it. How about now? Is that any better?
Well, you know, it's one of those, I'll let you know after we've talked a bit.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
Thank you. Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you double muted, perhaps?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Tracy in Colorado. Hi, Sherry and
Hey,
Michael.
Tracy.
Hey.
Hi. There's so much I'd like to say, and I think the what you mentioned in the last caller about like leaving the person behind is something that I've been holding in my awareness since we talked last time, which was before the end of the end of last year. And the last conversation we had was around my being with my mom and asking her what her wish for my birthday was, and she kept saying, "Well, I want you to," and I kept saying, "No, what's your wish for me?" And we ended that conversation of just me holding an awareness of you know, how does one, you know, make kind of choices when like their social conditioning was all around what other people want them to do. And so I've been just kind of holding this, and I've seen a lot.
And you want to give an example of the kind of thing you've seen, or is there another direction?
Well, it was so interesting right after that call, Sherry, the workshop. I was given like a 2-month workshop. It was just nonstop of surprising life occurrences. You know, like I was in a car accident, and right after that, my tenants discovered black mold in their house, and it opened up this, like, I had to end up replacing the whole roof, and each step of the way was like, oh, the roof inspector's here. Oh, you not only need to replace it, you need to reframe it. You know, and every step, like, I would notice what would arise in me of, like, this is too much. And it would be like, no, it's not too much. What's the now step? What's the now step? And, you know, what unfolded in the last, over those couple of months, it was sheer miraculous. Like, nothing this individual ever could have projected. It was moment to moment. We are not looking one step next, but just let it unfold. So I had that workshop immediately. And so what I got to see from that workshop was that, you know, when there's like, when like, how do I make choices? It was just like a moment to moment. Okay, this is what we have. I don't know how to do this. Okay, what now? Well, who does know how to do this? Okay, call this person. Oh, well, this person mentioned this. You know, then no, they'll try this. I'll try this. And it really was a choice, a moment to moment choice. There was no projecting at all. And then the in the moment workshop, looking this week at the year long around, you know, choosing, you know, light instead of staying in the darkness, I've been looking at commitments and noticing this interesting place around commitments of if I make a commitment to something, like I'm going to be there, like, you know, quote unquote, come hell or high water, I'm going to make that commitment. And then all these memories of, you know, being in, you know, life situations where I couldn't meet a commitment and it being incredibly stressful for me instead of just relaxing into the moment. So I've been holding that in awareness this week.
Mm-hmm.
And what dropped in was like loving doing dish duty, like changing out the dishwater at the monastery. And initially it was like, oh no, I'm going to have to get interrupted from my meal. But then my experience, like going back to that experience, well, my experience was I loved dish duty. I loved getting interrupted from my meal because it made me keep a bigger picture. Like I was aware of more and I noticed more. And and so that's where I am right now.
Well, and I think what I heard you say that seems really powerful is that connection between having a belief that, I mean, keeping commitments. Of course we want to keep our commitments. Of course we do. Of course we do. But having that become, come hell or high water, no matter what, you need to do this, as compared to the realization that life is unfolding, and it's unfolding you along with everything else. And sometimes you can keep that commitment that you made, and sometimes you just absolutely can't, and you have no control over that. So you might as well just relax into it. And then finding that balance of, well, of course, what a wonderful place to be in all the time. So then I imagine the language becomes short of life absolutely stopping me, I'll be there. Or, you know, I always finish, this happened just today. Somebody said something and it was I think it was on the morning show actually, where I always say, good Lord willing, right? That old, you know, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, which is just a nod to, yeah, that's how it looks right now. But anything could happen.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So you're not going to become a flake and just say, I said I'd be there, but, you know, I just don't feel like it. We call that the groovy California avocado in a hot tub experience. You know, sure, unless I get a better offer. And if I do, then I'm going to blow you off and go with whatever looks better in the moment. Right? And we're not saying that, nor are we saying, I'm going to do this. It doesn't matter what the price is. And if I can't, then the very least I could do is feel awful.
Right. And Sherry, this feels like I'm changing the subject, to me it feels like it's tied in. And so during the aging email class, there was a inquiry around, would there be anything that we would regret? And what dropped in for me was not having a really deeply intimate relationship. And I went, that's interesting. And I was like, well, with who? Like, with you, with life, with a partner? And so what I'm getting is, just hearing you say that is, when I'm in deep, intimate relationship with life, like when I did the roof dance, my goodness, wouldn't have chosen that, but it was a fabulous intimate dance with life. There was so much joy there. Like it felt so like I was there for each step of it. And so it feels like there's this place of that deep, intimate relationship with life. And you know, how often am I going with that, you know, either my own conditioning or my mother's conditioning or whoever other's conditioning of like, I want you to blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. It seems like the rich place.
Well, yes, Tracy, because that is what conditioning is, right? So there's life unfolding and conditioning's message is, no, not that. It doesn't even matter what life is unfolding, right? Ego's reaction is no. And so since everybody is conditioned and most people are not aware of it, then, there's always going to be, it's just going to be assumed that, of course I want something for you because I love you and this is my version of what's best for you, which might also be what I want. That's just reasonable, just how it is. And so to have a perspective that says, what do you want for someone? Well, whatever life wants for them.
I say it so my whole body relaxed when you said that. I want what life wants for them. I just went,
and if I'm included, that's great. And if I'm not, that's great. But it's a very unusual perspective, as you might have noticed. And it's interesting because, of course, you've had relationships with people, right? And you've had intimate relationships with people. And yet there was a call to something else, right? And what dropped in for you was with life. Yeah. And not even with myself, right?
Right.
With life.
Yeah, I pulled the bliss card this morning. I pull out what card from what universe you're creating every morning, and it was bliss, and it was, you know, the prompt was recording, you know, around when you just felt, you know, really happy. And I was recording around doing my taxes, you know, which is not really, quote, my least favorite thing to do, but I was just so in it, you know. I was so just in each moment of it, and that's what I'm really getting is just when we're in it for each moment, it's good. Like, it's really good.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing between us.
No, and I guess I want to continue to watch, and I'm excited to hear the other callers this week about that place of that dance between, you know, making the commitment and, like, I noticed, like, when I was doing my taxes, this light got really gorgeous out. We had gotten a snowstorm, and I was like, get out now. And I was like, no, we need to finish this part. I was like, oh, I knew who that is. Let's go out now.
Yeah, and, you know, Tracy, that's a wonderful thing when those ego messages are seen as prompts. To look to life. Oh, yeah, that's not the answer. Okay, then let's stop and breathe. And, yeah, all right. Well, let us know.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
I love practice. Thank you.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Mm.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Tracy. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right. You sound good, by the way.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Can you hear me? This is Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Hi. Wow.
What's going on?
I'm sitting at my altar. And the happiest guy in the cosmos. And
that's a good thing.
I just wrote a letter to someone, and I said, you know, I'm so happy, but it's not the garden variety happiness when you get good news. It's like the house of joy has taken up residence in my heart. And
let me ask you,
can I
ask you something about that?
Sure, yeah, go.
Okay. So because it is interesting when we use words like happiness or joy or that sort of thing. And so is it your experience that better words to describe that would be things like peace and
yes.
Understanding?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's incomprehensible to people in my family who are looking at me, it hasn't looked good for the home team the last 4 months. Medicare is paying like $9,000 a month to keep me alive with medications. With this pulmonary situation, and it's a struggle to breathe sometimes. I mean, literally. I mean, it's like I have a front row seat to the Buddha's observation of sickness, old age, and death.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not like a spectator sport. This is like I'm in it, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, you're in it, and you know it, which is the difference between you and an awful lot of folks. Right? We're all in it, but people rarely get it until it's to the point where it's unavoidable.
So if I were going to say something about what's happening for me is a week ago, I didn't know I was going to pull out of this. I have this mucus production, and they have sticky, gluey plugs, and I barely made it to this machine that delivers medicine, oxygenates this medicine before I passed out. And so it was really, I mean,
close.
That there's nothing more primal than suffocating to death. I mean, it was right there. Okay, so I got through that, and the sleep has been very, very difficult. And yet this morning on my cushion, I was weeping in gratitude that I had such a meaningful opportunity to observe firsthand how the mind wants to turn what is into something that's miserable, horrible, unbearable,
wrong.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I this is a plug for Living Compassion, by the way, sponsored by you know who. That's my joke. But it's like I was talking to someone who I admire, and they say, you know, there's a South African writing about the Dharma, the Tibetan Dharma, a guy named, I think it's David Michie, and he wrote The Dalai Lama's Cat. And it's the whole Tibetan mythology, it's kind of complicated, and then I'm thinking, oh, I feel so blessed to have come across this, what they call it, the Simplicity and Practical Guide of paying attention to what the conversation is and saying, oh, that's a conversation. That's not what's happening. What's happening is there might be, what I mean? Like,
well, Rico, wait a minute. The clapping is because that was just so clearly and beautifully stated. Oh, that's a conversation. That's not what's happening. God, to get that. It's huge. It's just, and so thank you for that articulation of it. I'll quote you.
Well, I don't know. You can if you want. I'll sign off on that.
Okay. All right. Good man. No reason to cling.
No. But I'm just the body is not doing well, and yet there's never been more joy, ever. I mean, I don't know if this is my, what do they call it, dance into the sunset. I don't think so. It could be. But if this is the way I go out, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Everything is okay. Everything is. And this is the karmic appointment I have with old age, sickness, and what follows, and it's okay. Just, and it's about what I've found through truly a dedicated practice. I mean, metal to the pedal, just boom, into it, 100%. And it's like, if I'm resisting what's happening, whether emotionally, psychologically, physically, that's where suffering unfolds. Mm-hmm. And I, as I ring my bell, I'm here on my, we're here to witness,
suffering,
to observe how the mind generates suffering. Mm-hmm. It's not about some kind of complicated Buddhist practice or. So it's just like the bare bones practice, and it's working, and I'm inexpressibly grateful that I met this practice.
Me too, Rico. And to me, that's the one of my great heroes, Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharshi. I've said this so many times recently, when people were so distressed that he was getting ready to drop his physical form, and he would keep saying, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere." And the peace that comes with the understanding that what we are was never born and cannot die, and the only thing that's happening is a change of form. We're not going anywhere.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. And what a gift to know that, huh?
It's, and I have this, maybe there's a practice question here. So one of our beads, we say, "I vow not to be avaricious and bestow the teachings."
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a fine line to keep it zipped when you're not your opinion isn't invited or your advice isn't invited, mm-hmm. as opposed to someone who it feels like, without being arrogant or without being evangelical, maybe it's possible to look at it this way. And mm-hmm. I did that with a family member, and who had gone through similar health challenges as me, and they got all bent out of shape because I just said two words, and they said, "What are you, some kind of holy Joe now, dispensing wisdom? Who do you think you are?"
Mm.
And it was coming from the most generous place of humility and love that I've ever known. And then I realized, oh, wait a second. It's not about me. This reaction isn't about me at all.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that insight.
Mm-hmm.
And since that encounter, it's been like 4 months, I'm exceedingly cautious as to offering any kind of opinion at all about anybody's process.
Yeah, right. If people aren't interested or whatever. I mean, and sometimes, of course, people will seem like they're interested only to have you say something and then get that kind of reaction. So, yeah, it's why we don't proselytize. It's why we don't advertise. It's why, it's just, first of all, the kind of practice that you do, it's too hard. And it's not popular, and it doesn't promise you anything. You know, you're just going to sit down and sit on a cushion and learn to see everything that causes you to suffer so that you can drop that. That's not something, especially when what's going to happen when a person sits down on the cushion is that they're going to run into a firestorm of ego resistance. So, a person has to really want to, that in that mysterious way. I didn't ever say I really want to. I bet you never said I really want to. But somewhere, sometime, we must have indicated that we really want to, because it's become something that is that important to us throughout our lives. And so if a person doesn't really want to, then it's just not going to happen.
Well, what do they say after a person has suffered enough?
That's
and
right.
They've been on the edge of either death by natural causes or death by their own hand, and they say, I am so desperate, I'll do anything. And
that's
then
right.
The anything shows up and you say, oh, this is kind of, but I wouldn't ever say it's been hard. For me, it's been a love affair.
Well, see, Rico, I think that's the difference. Yeah. 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 So you just keep going along, being you, doing what you do, and there'll be people who will ask. They'll wonder, you know, what are you doing that you're all right with this? And if they ask you, you can say just a few little words, right? We never want to say too much because then that tend to their eyes glaze over. And but just kind of the Mother Teresa, you know. Well, you might just check it out. You might just come and see for yourself, you know. Yeah. All right. Well, I see that we have reached the magic hour. I kind of can't believe it. Flew by.
Every hour is the magic hour, don't you think, Shirley?
It isn't it? Yeah, but these spring evenings, Rico, are a little more magical than most, aren't they? Really?
Well, you know, I mean, I know that. I see that we're in full spring here in sunny San Rafael. And yet when it's cold and damp and soggy, this might sound a little high-minded, but the practice for this person, anyway, is, being okay, regardless of what the weather is.
Well, it's when I try to channel my inner Ryokan.
Which is?
Which is being happy living in a little hut in God knows how many degrees below zero in a little robe.
Anyway, Sherry, I know we're at the end of the hour, and bows with love and respect.
To you too, sir. Take good care of yourself.
You too.
Good night. Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rico. And Sherry, that brings to a wrap another fabulous show.
It's a wrap. You never found our person, so I hope they'll be available maybe next week or at some point, and we can find them.
Fabulous.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Go happy.
Good night.
Good night.